Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this meeting of the City of Perth. I'll ask the Acting CEO to say the prayer. Thank you, Erica.
Almighty God, under whose province we hold responsibility for this city, grant us wisdom to understand its present needs, foresight to anticipate its future growth, and grace to serve our fellow citizens with integrity and selfless devotion. And to thee be all blessing and glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. I'll now acknowledge country. I respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land in which we meet, for Whadjuk Noongar people of Western Australia, and paying respects to elders past and present. It's a privilege to be standing on Whadjuk Noongar country. I formally declare this meeting open of the City of Perth. Apologies, are there any apologies, Acting CEO?
No, Chair, Commissioner.
Thank you. We'll move question time for the public and notification of deputations, but before I open it for questions, I want to make clear in a statement from myself on behalf of the Commissioners. For any questions coming from the gallery in relation to the variety of carols, please be aware that the City has been involved in identifying a suitable outcome and there will be an announcement in relation to this matter shortly. For any questions relating to the decision of the Special Council meeting yesterday regarding Mr. Martin Milam's employment with the City, the Commissioners were appointed to perform the role of the Council of the City of Perth. In the interest of ratepayers, that role included being the employer of the CEO. The Commissioners do not intend to debate the details associated with the decision to terminate Mr. Milam's employment in the media, except to say Commissioners made a decision consistent with their mandate to act in the best interests of the City. After 8 months performing the role of Council and watching closely the functioning of the City, the Commissioners deemed it necessary to introduce new leadership. Mr. Milam's employment was terminated with 12 months' notice, and all his entitlements in accordance with the provisions of his employment contract and the Local Government Act 1995 will be met. Commissioners are disappointed that Mr. Milam has chosen to make allegations and threats in the media against the City, which the Commissioners reject. Given he has stated an intention to take legal action, which will be firmly defended, it is all the more necessary for the Commissioners to limit any further comments. As such, no further questions will be answered in relation to this matter in any form. So, I'll now move on. Are there any questions to the Acting CEO?
Yes, Chair, Commissioner. A question received from Mr. Neil Alexander, resident of Terrace Road, PO Box 110, Bayswater, WA 6053, in relation to antisocial behaviour, crime and littering in Ozone Reserve. The questions are below. Why is it that the City of Perth allows the feeding of vagrants on Ozone Reserve directly in front of two international hotels and a residential area? This activity brings vagrants into the area and the inflow of antisocial behaviour, crime, littering and loitering. I will defer to the Director of Community and Services to answer the first question.
Thank you, Acting CEO. This question presents an opportunity to address current perceptions of homelessness and rough sleeping in the inner city. People who are rough sleeping, street present, or seeking support delivered from Ozone Reserve are not vagrants, where this term refers to people who are transient and survive by begging. It is important to decouple the perception of a person appearing homeless with a person's behaviours. Where there is antisocial behaviour or crime, it is a matter for the WA Police. Equally, if a person appearing homeless is sitting in a place and not causing any form of disturbance, they may choose to do so. The City of Perth has been working collaboratively with all arms of the homelessness sector, facilitating key stakeholder working groups to create an action plan to address these and related issues. The City of Perth is working towards a united sector and community approach, with support services needing to assist or refer people regarding the reason they are rough sleeping, combined with providing sustainable accommodation options. The most appropriate service delivery points to assist people who require crisis food support in the inner city are yet to be identified. Where the support of the community will be required to change the current perception of needing to manage homelessness to ending homelessness in Western Australia.
Thank you. And the second question is, if the City is going to allow this to continue, will the City of Perth put a requirement on the supplying organisation to A, increase security. B, clean up all litter. And C, manage loitering.
The City of Perth is in the process of consultation with the homelessness sector, where the issues of security, litter and loitering have been identified. These matters require a structured approach that both harnesses the goodwill of the sector and coordinates service delivery to balance a person-centred approach with the safety and concerns of the community. The City of Perth has a commitment to all the people in the city, with a strategic objective to ensure vulnerable people with diverse social needs are supported. The already mentioned action plan being developed will encompass these matters, where identified locations that are to provide service delivery will take into consideration safety and service delivery site conditions. Clear support options and referral pathways for people who need support and for services who deliver support will be established to link people experiencing homelessness out of their crisis and into sustainable support and accommodation. An aligned approach with the Department of Communities, the WA Alliance to End Homelessness, 50 Lives and 50 Homes, and the Housing First Collective and the City of Perth is required and being worked on.
Oh, thank you. The next question we've received from Jane Boxall of 25 Harvey Road, Hardy Road, Hollywood, WA. Is Jane here and would she like to read out her own question?
Good evening, Chair and other commissioners and staff. Jane Boxall, 25 Hardy Road in Netherlands, Hollywood. My question as follows. In the Crawley Hollywood Engagement Report, the planners of the City of Perth identified as a primary issue for residents both a failure of UWA to engage with the community and also the protection of Matilda Bay due to concerns over Forest Hall Stage 1 at that time. Why is it therefore that the planners failed to offer our committee the opportunity to meet up with representatives of UWA despite our requests to that effect, and will our residents be offered that opportunity now? If not, are engagement activities simply a waste of time and money for both the city and the residents? Thank you.
Thank you for your question. I'll defer to the Acting Director of Planning and Development.
Thank you. A workshop with 80 members of the Crawley Netherlands community was held on the 22nd of February 2018 to help identify what was important to the community in the future of their neighbourhood. This workshop engagement report, which was provided to all workshop participants, is being used to help inform the preparation of the city planning strategy, which will be released for formal community feedback following endorsement of a draft strategy by the state government. An important part of the future planning of the Crawley Netherlands neighbourhood will be the preparation of a structure plan covering UWA through to QE2. An essential element of the structure planning process will be engaging the community and key stakeholders in the structure planning process to enable the development of a vision for the neighbourhood that can be agreed by all. The matter before council is a development application for the proposed stage 2 of the UWA Forest Hall development, which is located on land that is reserved under the Metropolitan Region Scheme for Public Purposes University. In accordance with the relevant planning legislation, an application seeking development approval for such a site must be first lodged with the local authority, in this case the City of Perth, who must then forward the application to the West Australian Planning Commission within 7 days. The City may, within 42 days of the date of receipt of the application, make recommendations for consideration by the West Australian Planning Commission in respect of the application. The City is bound by the statutory timeframes and processes. In accordance with the planning legislation, the West Australian Planning Commission may consult with any authority that in the circumstances it thinks appropriate in regard to the development of reserved land. The City as a referral agency is not required to undertake consultation. Notwithstanding, the City did advertise the application for public comment as it acknowledged that there was community interest in the future development of the site. As part of any development assessment process, the local authority may seek comments from the public or from affected landowners, but it is not required to arrange meetings between the community and applicants as part of the development approval process. The community is able to engage in the development application process by submitting comments through the advertising period, by making a deputation at the council meeting, or making a presentation to the City of Perth Local Development Assessment Panel meeting at which this development application is to be determined.
Thank you. The next question we've received from Tim Graham Taylor, 30 Mengelong Street in Netherlands, WA, 6009, in relation to item 13.4, advice to the West Australian Planning Commission, 35, lot 2886, Stirling Highway, Crawley, Follis Hall, Stage 2, proposed mixed-use development containing 9 scholar rooms, 65 short-stay rooms and office space with car and bicycle parking. The question is, why has Matilda Bay Precinct Plan, developed by the Council between 2001 and 2017, been disregarded in deliberations concerning the impact of Forest Hall Stage 2? I'll defer to the Acting Director of Planning and Development.
Thank you. As outlined in the report to Council, the site is a Metropolitan Region Scheme reserved for public purposes university, and as such is not zoned under the City of Perth City Planning Scheme No. 2, and therefore the provisions of the scheme, including the precinct plans, are not relevant to the site. Notwithstanding, in its assessment of the application, the City's officers have had due regard to the statement of intent for the Matilda Bay Precinct Plan 9 and the relevant policies guiding design and parking and residential development, given that the MRS does not contain any development standards to guide the scale or form of development on this site. Thank you.
Thank you. The next...
There's no further questions.
Could I just make a request? We are all here, but we can't see Mr. Rob Farley. We can't hear him. We've got a massive pillar in the way. Is there any opportunity for us...
I'll ask Mr. Farley to speak up.
So we can see him.
I'll ask Mr. Farley to speak up.
Thank you very much.
Next question.
Okay, the next question is question received from Sue Graham Taylor of 30 Mengelong Street, Netherlands, WA, in relation to item 13.4, the previous item that we read out. This question is, given the cumulative impacts of the size and scale of Forest Hall Stage 2 on the river landscape which belongs to all of Western Australians, will the City of Perth be prepared to call a halt to the process to give the proposal proper consideration and encourage UWA to conduct a community engagement workshop as a courtesy to local residents and the wider West Australian community? So I'll defer to Robert, Acting Director of Planning and Development.
I will. Is that better, Anna?
Yes, thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Nice to see you. Lack of communication.
I'm afraid I can't do anything about the structural integrity of this chamber.
Well, an application once submitted must be determined by the relevant authority within the statutory timeframes. Any extension of time can only occur with the consent of the applicant. As the City of Perth is only a referral agency in the consideration of this development application, it is not able to halt the assessment process. If the City does not provide advice and recommendations to the West Australian Planning Commission within the statutory timeframes, the application can be determined without any input from the City.
Thank you. We've had a question received from Brent Fleeton from Overarch in relation to On the Point. I'll read out the questions.
Fine.
Sure. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks for your time this evening. Just to give you some context, I've been engaged by Neil Irvine from City Foreshore Investments. He's taken 100% ownership of the point in the last week. My questions are directed to the Commissioners and the Chair. I would like an update, please, Commissioners, on the City's review into parking. I understand you initiated that some weeks ago, specifically focusing on the key economic development issues this poses for many businesses in the district. I might read my two other questions and you might want to respond in writing, if that's okay from the Commissioners. Does the Chair agree that On the Point is a unique asset requiring a tailored approach from the City and the Commissioners as the leaders, which complements and welcomes this huge investment resulting in ongoing jobs and a beautiful attraction for locals and tourists alike on the Swan River? And given time concerns, we're going into peak spring and summer months. Today we launched a $500,000 advertising campaign on cat buses on radio and digital. Can the Commissioners please indicate when they would be willing to come down for a tour of the various businesses and attractions which make up On the Point and to sit down with staff and owners to discuss our concerns, primarily with parking and the entry signage? Thank you.
Thank you. I'll take question one on notice in part, other than saying that we are looking at what I call a fit-for-purpose approach to parking. In terms of question two, the answer is yes. Question three, the answer is yes. But equally, we have been down on the site before, but we're happy to do it again. Thank you. Are there any questions from the floor? Yes. Please come forward, sir. Thank you. Could you state your name and address, please?
Yes. Thank you, Chair, Councillors, Commissioners. My name is Jeff Brady at 16 Kings Park Avenue in Crawley. By walking, I live 9 minutes from Winthrop Hall. My question is, will people be parking in front of my home now because there will be no space for public parking left once Forest Hall Stage 2 has been built? Thank you.
Thank you for your acting CEO. Is there anyone who can answer that question at this time? Or do you want to have a time to we'll take it on notice? Thank you. To give you a considered response. Yes.
Another question?
Yes, certainly.
Good evening, Chair and Commissioners. I've got a question on Forest Hall. Why was Forest Hall built on the Tilda Bay rather than by St George's College on the other side of Stirling Highway, where residential colleges have traditionally been built? Thank you.
Excuse me, before you sit down, could I have your name and address, please?
I'm Stephanie Roby, and I live in Kings Park Avenue, Crawley. Thank you.
Thank you. Certainly well before my time. Is anyone can answer that question? Mr. Farley?
Mr. Chair, I think I'll take that on notice for the moment.
Thank you. As far as outlined, the Metropolitan Region Scheme has a reservation for a university, so we'd have to research when that occurred and how that occurred. But that's, what I think, the short answer, but we'll give you a more detailed answer after research. Any more questions from the floor? If not, we'll move to deputations. Are there any deputations, Acting CEO, please?
Yes, Chair, Commissioner. Deputation's been received from Anna Vanderbom in relation to item 13.4, advice to the West Australian Planning Commission, 35 lot 2886, Stirling Highway, Crawley, Forest Hall, Stage 2.
Thank you. Deputation, please come forward. Thank you.
Anna Vanderbom, Monash Avenue, Hollywood, and President of City of Perth Western Residents. Thank you for this opportunity to present the concerns of our residents. Our residents value Matilda Bay. We have received overwhelming feedback that they are not happy with UWA's plans for a twin building beside what is now known as Forest Hall 1. They are upset with the lack of community consultation by UWA, especially on the issue of location, which of course raises the spotlight on the questions of height and design. I will be addressing our residents' concerns regarding lack of consultation. While we applaud Andrew and Nicholas Forrest's generous donation to the University of Western Australia for the construction of Forest Hall, residents are appalled at UWA's apparent lack of consultation with local residents on its location and design. We believe the Forest Hall development has been by incrementation and stealth, rather than by open and engaging information, consultation and discussion. We believe this approach directly contradicts the mission of UWA, which is supposed to be to provide world-class education, research and community engagement for the advancement of the prosperity and welfare of our communities. Despite a specific question being raised on consultation with the public in relation to Forest Hall 2, the Vice-Chancellor of the University of Western Australia did not inform the Spring Convocation meeting of the 21st of September this year that the development application for Forest Hall 2 had already been submitted to the City of Perth and had been open for public comment for more than 2 weeks since the 6th of September. Residents claim an invitation to convocation members to submit comments should have been made at that meeting. The UWA Head of Corporate Services, in his reply to our letter to the Vice-Chancellor regarding this lack of transparency, stated that consultation had been undertaken with immediate neighbours. We have found out that this was possibly the adjacent boat clubs, which are leased, but not local residents, Crawley residents, many of whom have been there for 30 years or more, and whose lifestyle might be affected by where Forest Hall has been built, even more so if Forest Hall 2 is built next to it. A number of local Crawley residents, including our Curtin MP, have reported that they were not consulted on the proposed location of the existing Forest Hall before it was approved for construction. UWA has said it will continue to work with these neighbours, the boat clubs, as their plans evolve. But what about their Crawley neighbours? A recent survey our association conducted of local Hollywood Eastern Crawley residents, now within the City of Perth, found that 100% of respondents were against the development of a similar building next to existing Forest Hall, like Forest Hall Stage 2. The protection of the Matilda Bay foreshore was raised as a major priority at the Residents City of Perth Planning Workshop, held in July 2017 with planners from the City of Perth. Perceived lack of engagement with UWA was raised as a primary concern. So we call on our commissioners to honour the findings of their own City of Perth Planning Workshop, Engagement Workshop, and to represent our residents in their desire for engagement with UWA on Forest Hall. Surely our previous elected councillors would have strongly urged consultation. And while we applaud the undertakings that the planners of the City of Perth are making, that in future they will be looking at an engagement process with the University of Western Australia, I think it would be really good if they acted on behalf of residents and strongly presented a case for holding a community engagement workshop. And that just needs to be said as part of the comments, and we would really appreciate that, because then we as a resident group, a Association would feel that we have been listened to. Thank you very much. We really appreciated the level of consultation we have experienced with the commissioners and with the planners, and we want to say that being part of the City of Perth has been a very positive experience for us, and we look forward to your representation of our concerns in the future. And also with this particular issue, which is of such major concern to our residents. Thank you.
Thank you for your deputation. I understand we now have another deputation, Acting CEO.
Yes, we do. A deputation request received from Lou Di Folio from Ad Brands.
Sorry, part two is Brian Lansley.
From our residents' association.
Okay, if you can keep that short, Mr. Lambert, thank you.
I've only got three pages.
I'll hold you to the three. Thank you,
Eric. Yeah. My name is Brian Langenberg, 47 Hardy Road, Hollywood. I want to address the location, height, and design of Forest Hall and Forest Hall proposed Stage 2, as it blocks river views for all West Australians. It's not only us as local residents and maybe UWA convocation members that would be concerned now that we know that it's on the table and it's going to be recommended for approval, but it's a concern for everyone in WA as they drive along Mounts Bay Road from the city. It's our opinion that the location of the Forest Hall building, the proposed Forest Hall, two buildings in direct contradiction to the City of Perth Precinct Plan, which has already been mentioned tonight, which places great importance on the preservation of and access to the Swan River foreshore along Matilda Bay. This plan says that the relationship of UWA, the foreshore, inner city residential area of Crawley, even the former Swan Brewery, and Kings Park and City Centre is the principal element of the precinct. Together they form one of the more prominent and picturesque features of the city. In addition, the fine established character of the existing built areas of the precinct will be maintained. We don't believe that the intentions of this precinct plan have been upheld as a location, height and design of Forest Hall, and number two, and block the aspect from the north as you come from Stirling Highway, looks from Stirling Highway to the river, and also as you drive from the city along Mounts Bay Road. State Planning Policy 2.10, Swan and Canning River System, states that community consultation identified four key values, one of which is a sense of place, which includes the strong community connection people have with rivers related to their beliefs, traditions, memories, and a commitment to looking after them. Matilda Bay Management Plan 1992-2002 highlights the visual resources provided by the bay. The objective is to provide the reserve's visual resources and ensure future development is compatible with the reserve's landscape in the University and Yacht Club buildings. This plan states that managing the visual resources of Matilda Bay Reserve involves protecting the landscape so as not to obstruct views in any way. The Forest Hall 2 development documentation appears to completely ignore the objectives of this plan and the principles of visual landscape planning as outlined in the West Australian Planning Commission's Manual for Visual Landscape Planning in WA, which states that the protection of landscape values is now expected by communities. Big fail. Priceless land and river views are going to be diminished, have been diminished, and will be lost forever if Forest Hall 2 is built in its proposed location. Public parking, where will the public park now? Questions have already been asked about that tonight. Are you going to allocate more green space further south from Forest Hall 2 once it's built? We hope that won't happen. Safety, with increased numbers of Forest Hall residents and further traffic, parking issues and congestion, what guarantees can UWA and the city give for improved safety along and across Mounts Bay Road, Hackett Drive and Stirling Highway, especially with the Blue Boat Shed, crowds coming from internationally to see the Blue Boat Shed as well. It's going to be worse. Representation issues. City of Perth and UWA, according to their charters, should be representing the people, the public of WA, as well as local residents, and working toward their benefit, not just overseas students. Also, if approval was given to increase the height of the existing Forest Hall 1 from 4 storeys to 6 storeys, what's to stop the UWA asserting that they need more height with Forest Hall 2? We now are unsure that we can depend on UWA to engage and represent the issues of its local community in the wider Perth and WA community. Question: are you prepared as a city to block the development application for Forest Hall 2 as it is, and encourage UWA to conduct a community engagement workshop with local residents, convocation members in the wider WA community, or is this just a rubber stamp approval to suit the University of Western Australia? Because it seems to be that from the agenda notes from tonight's meeting. Sorry to be so aggressive, but it's something that there are a lot of people who are upset about. We request that UWA and City of Perth be urged to assess the extreme impact on the community, because I don't think any community impact statement, although we do environmental impact, we don't do community impact statements, on the construction of Forest Hall 2 will have in terms of river views, river access and public parking and public safety as well. Consider other locations, as been suggested tonight, for Forest Hall 2, just east of St George's College. And lastly, undertake thorough consultation on this development. Transparent consultation by inviting local residents, UWA convocation members and the wider WA community to attend a workshop on Forest Hall Stage 2 as a courtesy to its neighbours, because it is in the community, it's not just on its own, as it will have far-reaching impacts on all West Australians who love the Swan River and its vistas, in particular that around Matilda Bay foreshore. Thank you very much, Commissioners.
Thank you. Now move to the next deputation.
Okay, so the next deputation was received from Louis D. Florio from Ad Brands Media in relation to item 13.5, 190, lot 101 Aberdeen Street, Northbridge, proposed LED sky sign displaying variable third-party advertising content.
As you know, my name is Lou DeFlorian, and I'm the manager for AdBrands Media. We have a development application for a proposed high-definition LED digital screen to hopefully be installed on the facade of the building located at 190 Aberdeen Street in Northbridge. I'd like to thank Council and especially Commissioners and the Chair for allowing me the opportunity to be able to participate in presenting this deputation. Mainways WA have raised only two minor comments in regards to the installation of the high-definition LED digital screen. The first comment is that the screen is larger than the industry standard. However, the reason for this is because the digital screen is further away from the motorist travelling east along the Graham Farmer Freeway, and this will make the message displayed a lot easier to take in and comprehend at a quick glance, which will also make it safer, as highlighted and documented in the Road Safety Assessment Report. The second comment that Main Roads WA has made is that the digital screen will be in a device-restricted area. However, a very thorough and comprehensive road safety assessment report was conducted by Transcorp, a professional and experienced company whose services are also utilised by Main Roads WA to conduct road safety reports, have stated in the report that the approaching road sections are in fact in a low-risk category and meet the criteria for crash risk assessment. It should be noted that Main Roads WA and other councils have approved other digital screens which are also in device restricted areas. Nonetheless, they have been approved for installation and have been operating successfully for a number of years. At the agenda briefing session held just last week, Commissioner Andrew Hammond made the comment that he drives past a digital screen at Leach Highway and doesn't think that there is any issue with these digital screens, which are popping up more and more. The Department of Planning, Lands and Heritage have submitted their comments to the City of Perth in regard to our proposal, and they have stated in their document that they would be prepared to support the installation of the digital screen. The digital screen will be integrated within the facade of the building so that it all complements each other to achieve the desired look of integration. The building itself is in a unique location and is directly across the road from an open public space named Piazza Nani. The piazza has been designed for the public to take advantage of the 6-park benches, feature paving, grass area trees and lighting. There is also a pedestrian and cycling bridge that stretches across the freeway and links up with the piazza. The other reasons why this building is in a unique location is the fact that motorists travelling east along the Graham Farmer Freeway will have the opportunity to view the digital screen if they so desire. The inclusion of the high-definition LED digital screen integrated within the building will certainly help to contribute positively in enhancing this part of the city by way of additional lighting, illuminated visual graphics, colour, vibrancy and certainly interest, which all helps in creating and building a more modern and progressive city. We respectfully ask for the commissioners to please use your power of discretion to support and approve this proposal because you can see merit to the positive benefits it will bring to this part of the city. People living in the 21st century and travelling to a capital city would expect to see this kind of technology which contributes to the making of a more dynamic and lively city. Thank you once again for allowing me the opportunity to speak as deputation. Thank you.
Thank you. We have one more deputation, understand?
Yes, that's right. Deputation has been requested from Greg Rabbi from EIR Culprit in relation to item 13.6, Key Sector Development Sponsorship, Perth Angels, Angel Investing Series. If you come up.
Good evening. Yes, my name is Greg Redding. I'm here as a representative of the Perth Angels. It's a not-for-profit association that is actually focusing on creating a destination for entrepreneurial ventures to be actually meet with hopefully investment capital to actually grow and sustain that. I thank you for the opportunity to actually speak this evening, and I respectfully request that you consider our proposal positively. The outcome that we want to achieve is to actually grow more and in fact sustain more entrepreneurial ventures here in Western Australia. What I want to go through tonight is 3 points. One is just why we think there is a need and needs to be considered. Why we think we're actually a worthwhile partner for the city to actually grow that part, and why we actually do need the support of the city. In terms of why there's a need, if I could actually use a sort of a metaphor of a coin, relevant in terms of investment, but we see two sides of the coin. One's the entrepreneurial side of the coin, the other one's the investor side of the coin. In WA and Perth, actually we've done extraordinarily well in growing our entrepreneurial side of the city, and in fact actually as a large part of that is due to the support that the city does give a lot of those programs in WA. The other side of the coin, though, and my fear is that we have so many ventures actually that are growing. And in my 20 years of actually in developing entrepreneurial ventures, there's two key things that I think are critical. One, and both are fuel. One is dollars, and the other one's smarts. And my fear is without the lack of capital and the lack of that contributing smarts, we may have a problem of our growth in entrepreneurial ventures may not be sustainable. Why do we need actually to grow the private investor community? Perth actually does lack venture capital, it lacks a lot of institutional capital, and indeed a lot of our high net worth investors have been taught over the last many decades to actually invest in listed stocks and property stocks, and very little of those actually do invest in private equity or private investments with entrepreneurial ventures. Those that have actually been doing it for a long time and their portfolio is getting a bit full. What we need to do is to actually grow that community, and that's what the Perth Angels has been doing for the last number of years. We were founded in 2010. We've run something like 30-odd pitch nights. We've evaluated something 450 different ventures. We've had about 100 of those actually present. And we've had something like around about 20 ventures actually secure capital, most over the last few years after all of our efforts. That's brought in around about $2 million worth of investment plus another couple of $1 million worth of indirect investment, and that's not counting the follow-on investment these ventures have actually been able to achieve. As I said, when we look at the investment side of the West Australian economy, most of the high net worths and those that actually do invest are more in those listed stocks and property stocks. And so what we've instituted over this last year, and we've been proving, and I think actually has now led into my wife think that we're actually a worthy partner to try and develop that part, is where we've established what we call the Angel Investing Series, where we're actually now running programs where we're actually inviting private investors, more net worth, not high net worth, as well as small businesses, to actually understand how you can invest in and utilise new economy technologies. I think we've been actually recognised that that's starting to deliver value, and in more recent times we've been requested, and we are putting on in the middle of the next month, on cyber security technologies. We've been invited to put those on for our gaming technologies next year. We've been invited to put it on med tech. And the reason that we've been invited is that each of those sectors are actually saying to us, and I think are representing, the fact that actually there is a lack of private investor capital to actually invest in those ventures. And so they want to energise that as well. With our experience and with our knowledge, we're actually able to share with those organisations, Accelerating Australia, MTP Connect, AgriStart, City of Joondalup, Innovation Hub. These organisations are saying, how can we actually help energise that? What we do feel is the outcome of that is actually going to be a multiplier effect. Even with the limited number of members we've got today, as I say, we've got that couple of $1 million going in plus a couple more. And so the more that we can actually grow that network, the more available capital is going to be available to our ventures. We actually do hope, in fact, that we can actually help engender these sort of angel groups and, in fact, in other regions of the state. And we are having discussions right now about doing that in other regions of the state. So I think the model does work. While we need your support, simply we're a not-for-profit. Our members actually are largely the work that we do and the heavy lifting we do in running these events is actually pro bono. We're in there because we want to grow the garden patch for the state. We want to grow the development of good ventures so that we can actually have more people participating with them. And so, in conclusion, more events equals more people, equals more dollars and more smarts, and hopefully more successful ventures in the state, which I think then underpins a lot of the good work that council's and the city's already been doing and a lot of those entrepreneurial programs. I thank you very much for the opportunity to talk today, and hopefully you'll consider our application positively.
Thank you, sir. Now move on to members on leave of absence or applications for leave of absence. As all the commissioners are here, there's obviously nobody on leave of absence. So are there any commissioners requesting leave of absence? For you? See you?
No, Chair.
No?
No, Chair, Commissioner.
Thank you. Now move to confirmation of the minutes and ask that someone move the confirmation of the minutes. The ordinary council meeting held on 25th September 2018. Also the special council meeting held on the 12th of October 2018. And the agenda briefing session held on the 23rd of October 2018 as a true and correct record. Do I have a mover? Commissioner Hammond, do I have a seconder? Commissioner McMath, does any of the commissioners wish to speak to this matter? If not, I support the move of the motion and declare the confirmation of the minutes that I've read out as endorsed. Excuse me, I'll now move to announcements by the Chair of Commissioners. And notwithstanding my previous announcement, I just have a couple more I want to make. From time to time in the media, I find it unfortunate that the City of Perth may be criticised for not supporting local events in line of the deputations that we've just had just recently with respect to the last one. I noted in this agenda here before us tonight that assistance in forms of grants or sponsorship or the like considerable in the number of requests, and they total around about, according to my maths, $845,220. That is not a small sum when added up. We've also been active in the past of supporting other events, such as the return of the Eagles. Sorry for the Dockers supporters, but for the Eagles. And what is also not understood or taken into account is, apart from a grant or assistance, on many occasions, notwithstanding the actual money allocated, the city actually provides parking management, coordinates police and traffic management, etc., etc. They are costs in addition. I think that needs to be recognised. The city of Perth, compared to other capital cities, such as Melbourne, Sydney, and in particular Brisbane, is somewhat smaller. Yet the city does its best, in my view, having regard for due financial diligence, to react positively where possible, not only within the parameters of the Local Government Act, but in particular with the objectives of the City of Perth Act. End of that statement. I also want to make a point regarding briefing sessions. Briefing sessions were introduced to add more transparency to the Commission's business, the Council's business through the Commissioners, but it is not a decision-making body. It is a body that allows the public to attend and also for the Commissioners to ask questions of clarification and equally ask for matters to be perhaps further addressed in any report before the Council. There should be no acceptance or understanding that a briefing session resolves a decision of the Council. It does not. It is an information session to increase transparency, also to ask questions of staff to improve, where appropriate, not only the level of reporting, but the efficiency of these Council meetings. For anybody, including the media, to assume that because a report is discussed in a briefing session, that the Commissioners will automatically adopt or endorse a subsequent recommendation, which is not in the briefing session, before due consideration, is false and misleading in the public arena. The Commissioners are elected, as is councillors, to consider and evaluate, and where necessary, examine, seek more information, but to make a decision on the information before us. The Commissioners are not here to rubber stamp any recommendation, but are here to consider effectively, without fear or favour, and in an unbiased way, the report, and giving deliberation to their considerations prior to reaching a decision. I want to make that quite clear for future reporting. The last point I want to make is the application of policy. Often the city has policies which are for guidance. The Commission and the Council, or the Council, is not bound by policy. What it is bound for is to have due regard for the policy, but equally consider the intent of the policy and its application before it. It is not a matter of an authority, whether it's a council, a West Australian Planning Commission, a sub-judicy body such as a State Appeal Tribunal, simply say because a policy exists, it will agree with the policy in the particular circumstances. Administrative law and town planning law states, and written very eloquently by the late Chief Justice David Malcolm, that notwithstanding a policy, every application has to be considered on its merits, having regard for the policy and its intent. There may be times when a policy is written in a generic way, and I've yet to see a policy that can apply to all things to all people at all times, to be examined in terms of its application and decision making. So again, if any particularly quasi-judicial authority simply adopts a policy or a recommendation based on policy without examining the actual detailed application and all the factors associated with application, including the policy, but equally notwithstanding the policy, then it is an error of making a decision without due consideration. That's all I have to say on that matter. Hope that educates some people. I'll now move to disclosure of members' interests. Does any commissioner or employee wish to disclose interest and its nature in any matter contained within the agenda? No? I guess the answer is nil. Thank you. Questions of which members, by members of which due notice has been given. Any questions which notice has been given, Acting CEO?
No, Chair Commissioner.
Thank you. In under correspondence, has any correspondence been received other than obviously through the deputations?
No, Chair Commissioner.
Thank you. Have any petitions been received?
No, Chair Commissioner.
Thank you. So, finally, in terms of matters for which the meeting may be closed, are there any matters for which the meeting may be closed?
Yes, Chair Commissioner. In accordance with Section 5.232 of the Local Government Act 1995, should a commissioner wish to discuss the content of the confidential attachments in relation to item 13.8, it is recommended that Council resolve to go close the meeting to the public prior to discussion of the item.
Just make that clear for the gallery, that's if we wish to discuss the contents of the confidential matter. If we don't have to go behind closed doors. I hope that's clear. Thank you, Acting CEO. I now have been advised by commissioners that there are a number of items which they wish to consider separately, but we do go through a process where commissioners are of the view they are in agreement with the staff recommendation that we endorse those in blocks. So I have an on-block motion here that, with the exception of items 13.4, 13.5, 13.8, 13.9, 13.11, 13.12, 13.13, 13.14, 13.18 and 13.22, which are to be considered tonight separately, that the officer's recommendations for the remaining items, which are 13.1 to 13.3 inclusive, 13.6 and 13.7, 13.10, 13.15 to 13.17 inclusive, and 13.19 to 13.21 be adopted by Council en bloc by an absolute majority decision. Do I have a mover on that regard, please? Commissioner McMath. Seconded, Commissioner Hammond. I have no objection to the motion, so I declare the motion endorsed accordingly. On that basis, we will now move to item 13.1, which is advice to the Metropolitan Regional Development Authority on proposed lots 4 and 5 Trinity Avenue's proposed five-storey mixed-use development. Over to commissioners. Thank you. Sorry, beg your pardon, I'm jumping the gun. 13.4, which is advice to the West Australian Planning Commission on regards to lots 2886 Sterling High Quarry, Forest Hall Stage 2, proposed mixed-use development containing 9 scholar rooms, 65 short-stay rooms and office space for car and bicycle. And open that item up for discussion by commissioners. Does anyone wish to move the motion?
Chair, I'll move the motion, but I'll have quite a deal to say in speaking towards that motion, and I will move that motion with some qualification.
Thank you. Commissioner Hammond, do I have a seconder for that?
I second the motion.
Over to you, Commissioner Hammond, please.
Thank you, Chair Commissioner. Having been involved with this development quite closely and also been involved with the members and stakeholders of the Ratepayers Association, I can certainly understand their frustrations with the apparent lack of consultation with regards to the development. In saying that, one has to be realistic with our jurisdiction. And we quite simply are not decision makers, and we do not have the legal right either to block or veto this development. Indeed, if we don't involve ourselves as part of the process, we will actually be ignored. We won't have any statutory rights whatsoever. The the key breakdown with the University of Western Australia and their residents is something I think the city can pursue in the context of becoming an enabler for better communication between the residents and the UWA on matters not only related to planning, because as you'd well know, Chair, as a planner, that some of the matters raised from the residents, whilst being valid, are not valid planning considerations under law, and so therefore would be very, very difficult to mount an opposition to the development. We are a statutory planning authority, granted, but in this case we have no powers as such. We're an advocate. So in relation to getting the message across from the residents, firstly, we should ensure that the comments of our professional planning staff, which I endorse, are put forward to the WAPC so as they can be recognised within their considerations. Secondly, as commissioners, I believe we should approach senior stakeholders at the University of Western Australia to endeavour to improve levels of communication with the community, and from there we should hopefully monitor a better relationship in the future. In closing, Chair, I would say that really, ultimately, the land is reserved for the public purposes related to university activity. It is covered by the Metropolitan Regional Scheme, and therefore it is an application that the state government under the WA Planning Commission will consider. So therefore, our role as an advocate, I believe, is to pass on to the decision makers the very valid concerns that the residents have raised before us and ensure they receive a response.
Thank you, Commissioner Hammond. Commissioner McMath.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to endorse the sentiments expressed by my fellow Commissioner Hammond. In my opinion, the deputations made this evening have raised some important issues. However, I note our inability to consider them and inappropriateness to consider them in this advice. However, I do have some questions for the administration.
Please go ahead.
Thank you. My first question relates to the points made with respect to height and scale of this development. And the question is whether the University of Western Australia has indicated any intention to change the height and scale of Stage 2 as was done with Stage 1.
Mr. Fowley or Ms. Margaret Smith or someone, who's going to answer the question? Margaret, thank you.
Thank you, Chair Commissioner. At this stage, the UWA has not made any indication that there'd be any change to the proposed height of this building. Just referring to page 168 of the agenda, it's their express intent is not to break the view of the tree line above the building, and that view from the river clearly demonstrates how the building sits below the canopy height of the surrounding trees, and they're very keen to maintain that. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question.
Commissioner McGrath. My second question relates to the item around the condition and advice. I'll read that. One, the short stay accommodation being used predominantly for university purposes at all times to the satisfaction of the West Australian Planning Commission. My question is one of seeking clarity. I am assuming that the office space of 970 square metres for identified for the accommodation of 70 staff will be only for university purposes. Is that correct?
Thank you, Commissioner. again, in the report, it explains that the university is currently pursuing arrangements with philanthropic and other agencies, but related to university operations and activities. So it won't just be a commercial enterprise, it would be something or an operation associated with the university activity.
So just as a point of clarity, it would be restricted to university purposes as opposed to any commercial use? And the reason I ask this question is to understand the potential for impact on transport, movement, safety and overall amenity as a result of the use and the impact on the site.
Ultimately, that's really a decision for the Australian Planning Commission to recommend as to whether a more broader use of the office would still be considered to be university purposes. But certainly the intent of the application is that the offices will be aligned with university education, research and engagement.
Thank you, Chair.
I've got a comment to make on this. As outlined by Commissioner Hammond, the city is here probably between a rock and a hard place. Firstly, it is only a referral body. It is not a decision maker. In fact, the decision maker is not even the WAPC. It will be the local development advisory assessment panel. And there's, as outlined, I think, by Mr. Farley, there is a timeline to respond. If we don't respond, then the Commission can make its own decision. And equally, if the Commission doesn't respond, it could be form an issue of right of appeal to the Statutory Appeal Tribunal, either through a decision of the Commission, if it makes one, or doesn't. Equally, if it is a decision of the Development Assessment Panel can still go to Statutory Appeal Tribunal and there's timelines. The other issue is that from a statutory planning point of view, as outlined in the report and I think touched on by Mr. Farley, this area of land is not simply reserved as regional open space, which is common for the majority of the Matilda Bay Reserve. In other words, public open space. A decision by government of the day, I don't know when it occurred, has actually reserved the land under the Metropolitan Region Scheme for university purposes. Therefore, there is an automatic right for the university to use that land for its purposes, notwithstanding it's still subject to a planning process. My view is that having regard for all the advice of the staff, which I'd have to say I commend because it's probably a difficult report to write, having regard for the issues, but that if Commissioner Hammond's motion is carried, I would ask him to consider advising the West Australian Planning Commission to seek further consultation, if possible, bearing in mind timelines, with residents through the University of WA. I want to make it clear that the Council nor the Commission can force UWA to have that consultation. As I said, rock and hard place. But at least we can give that advice, and then it will be up to the West Australian Planning Commission to consider that advice. But that is a suggestion for Commissioner Hammond to take on board, as he's the mover of the motion. And if he's happy to do so, then with the acceptance of the seconder, that could be incorporated in the motion. That's all I have to say on the matter. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Look, in response to that, I touched on the need for the city to engage with UWA in the context of this consultation. I think I'm more than happy to extend that to the WAPC as well, on the basis that we request the WAPC to request UWA to undertake more consultation to get a much better understanding of how the residents in the immediate area feel about this development.
Commissioner McMath?
I second that motion.
You have it incorporated in the motion as seconded. Do you wish to exercise any right of reply, Commissioner Hammond?
No, thank you, Chair.
In that case, I'll put the motion as amended with that inclusion. All those in favour? And I'll support that. And the motion is carried accordingly as amended. We now move to item 13.5, 190 Lot 101 Aberdeen Street, Northbridge, proposed LED sky sign displaying variable third-party advertising content. Commissioners? Hammond? You've got your light on, so I'm telling you.
Oh, sorry.
Is there any commissioner wish to speak to this?
I would like to make an alternate recommendation.
To the recommendation, thank you.
Yes.
As a motion?
As a motion.
Thank you.
In my opinion, signage such as this, where appropriate, can add to the vibrancy and amenity of any city. Can you hear me?
Excuse me, Commissioner, can we have the alternative motion first and then you speak to it, please?
The alternate motion is that Council, in accordance with the provisions of the City Planning Scheme No. 2, the Planning and Development (bracket Local Planning Schemes Regulation 2015, deemed provisions for local planning schemes and the Metropolitan Region Scheme, approve by absolute majority the application for an LED sky sign displaying variable third-party advertising content at 190 bracket lot 101 bracket Aberdeen Street, Northbridge, as indicated on the Local Planning Scheme Form and Metropolitan Region Scheme Form 1, dated the 10th of August 2017, and as shown on the plans and details received on the 30th of August 2017 and 21st of June 2018, subject to 1. The supporting structures being designed and finished to complement the exterior of the existing building, with all wiring and ducting being concealed to have minimal visual impact when viewed from the street and surrounding properties, with final details of these elements being submitted to and approved by the City prior to applying for a building permit. 2. A comprehensive advertising strategy for the sign, detailing the control of content, illumination levels, management and maintenance of the sign being submitted to and approved by the City prior to applying for a building permit. 3. The advertisements being restricted to static displays that contain only single self-contained messages that have a dwell duration of not less than 45 seconds, with the duration of transition between the full display of one message and the full display of the next message not exceeding 0.1 seconds. Transitional effects such as fly-in, fade-out and scrolling shall not be permitted. 4. The sign content excluding symbols, graphics or text that could be mistaken for an instruction to road users and pedestrians, or any colours, shapes or lighting that could be mistaken for a traffic sign or traffic control signal, or a format normally used for traffic control or warning, incident or traffic management, or road safety or driver information messages, except where required by a public authority. 5. The letter size and legibility of text generally conforming to the guidelines set out in AusRoads Guide to Traffic Management Part 10, Traffic Control and Communication Devices, and shall not include website and social media email addresses or text messaging instructions. 6. The sign being in accordance with the relevant requirements of the Australian Standards, Control of Obtrusive Effects of Outdoor Lighting, bracket AZ4282-1997, close of brackets, with details of the proposed maximum luminance levels of the sign being submitted to the City for approval prior to the sign being installed. 7, the sign having a default setting that will display an entirely black screen when no content or unauthorised content is being displayed or a malfunction occurs. And 8, and finally, the applicant, owner of the sign, exempting the city from any liability resulting from claims due to road user or pedestrian distraction caused by the sign, with the applicant owner accepting all responsibility for any such claims.
Thank you, Commissioner McMahon. If you can now speak to the motion you've just been through. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Just seconding it. Okay, thank you. Now can you speak to it, please? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I believe, in my opinion, that signage where appropriate and under the appropriate conditions can add to the vibrancy and amenity of a city. I think, therefore, that noting that the thorough paper that has been prepared for our consideration by management raises many important points, I believe that we should give consideration to allowing this sign to progress subject to the certain conditions I outlined in the motion.
Thank you. Commissioner Hammond, do you wish to speak to this? Well, I do. I understand where Commissioner Max comes from, and I have to say that I wrestled with this in my own mind after reading the report. I agree with Commissioner McMath that if we didn't have sky signs, like many other cities in the world, we'd be pretty dull. And they are part and parcel of the vibrancy of a city, and I'll call it the identification of a city and its intense development. Excuse me. I also have weighed up the size of the sign, and I've also been on site to inspect the issue with the planning officer. I also find within the report, and this is not a criticism of the staff report, but a criticism in the sense on the one hand, Main Roads WA erects signs either over a freeway or adjacent to a freeway, and yet doesn't support, on some occasions, a sign because of traffic. I have a concern with the consistency of approach of Main Roads WA. I also am of the view that, as I've said before, in terms of policy, we need to be a bit careful, particularly where the report says sky signs are not permitted anywhere within the city. In accordance with Clause 9, 7.9A, sky signs of City Planning Scheme Number 2, Policy 4.6 signs. I refer to my comments made previously regarding policy. So, on balance, and having regard for the issues, and both from a consistency but also an inconsistency point of view, I support the alternative recommendation. So I'll put the recommendation unless there's any more discussion on the matter. If not, all those in favour of the alternative recommendation read out by Commissioner McMath, please raise their hand. Against? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now move to Item 13.8, strategic event scholarship, West Coast Theatre. Interesting title. So I'll hand over to commissioners. Thank you.
Through you, Chair, I'd like to move the motion, but we'll have some comment to make.
A second of the motion.
I second the motion.
Hammond.
Thank you, Chair. I have been to one of the games with the Fever this year and was very impressed with the fact that there was a Perth Arena was full and those people were only in the city as a result of the Perth fever and also because of that sponsorship assistance from the city. So I think it is a very important area of economic development that will assist with activation of that end of town. In saying that though, we all hope that the Perth fever is going to win a grand final. We all know that they're going to win lots of games. And in doing so, personally I hope that they're up there with the Wildcats in the years to come, and we can paint the town green as red as well as orange. But that also means that I'd like to see the city be able to gradually withdraw its funding support over the years as the fever become more and more sustainable, have more capacity, and also set up Perth Arena as their home, and it becomes a formidable fortress for them.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner,
nothing to add, Chair.
Neither do I. So I have a mover and a seconder. Is there any dissent to the motion? If not, I'll declare the motion as moved by Commissioner Hammond endorsed. Thank you. We now move to item 13.9, which is New Year's Eve Northbridge 2018, almost into 2019. So, Commissioners?
I'm happy to move that motion.
Thank you. Do I have a second to that? Thank you, Commissioner Hammond. Commissioner McMath, would you care to speak to the motion, please?
Thank you, Chair. In my opinion, the proposal in front of us to support the celebration of a New Year's Eve event in Northbridge adds significantly to the amenity of the city and to the activation of this very important and emerging cultural neighbourhood.
Thank you. Any comment from the seconder? No. I would endorse Commissioner Mack's comments. So if there's no further discussion, is there any dissent to the recommendation? There's no. In that case, I declare the recommendation as set out in the agenda endorsed accordingly. Thank you. Now move to item 13.11. Correct. Skate park feasibility study. Commissioners? Going first, Commissioner McNaff, ladies before gentlemen.
Thank you, Chair. Item 13, the skate park feasibility study. I'm happy to move the recommendation.
Would you have a seconder?
Yeah, happy to second.
Commissioner McNaff, wish to speak to your motion.
Thank you, Chair. In my opinion, the consideration of a skate park in the city boundary will provide an important social amenity to the young people of the city. I support this recommendation, understanding that the final location will be the subject of much community consultation and further consideration of the council.
Thank you. Commissioner Hammond, any comment?
No.
No, I'd endorse the proposal of the feasibility study. It's still a fair way to go on this matter, but certainly can add activation in terms of the city and young people, particularly as we're encouraging more residents to come into the city. So I would endorse the recommendation. So is there any dissent to the motion of Commissioner McMath? No? In that case, I would declare that the recommendation as set out in the agenda is endorsed accordingly. Thank you. I now move to item 13.12, and with the indulgence of my fellow commissioners, I'd like to move the recommendation, and I'll speak to it if I have a seconder. I have a seconder by Commissioner Hammond. I refer to my previous comments on the policy. In this instance, a parklet's policy, in my view, is policy for policy's sake. Having said that, the commissioners, to my understanding, strongly support parklet's development. But equally, a policy which is so generic really doesn't give a direction other than just simply a policy framework. Whereas under the local planning strategy and the direction of the commissioners is that we are seeking to have a more activated precinct planning and precinct management, which would incorporate, where possible, regardless of all the nuances in their different, perhaps, aspects relating to a parklet, depending on its location. In other words, we would develop a plan for that area on a fit-for-purpose basis, not just simply on the basis of a policy. I also think a policy in this instance is really doesn't advance our consideration of the work being done by the staff on the local planning strategy. It allows our approach is that any precinct planning should be fit for purpose, a bit like parking, but if we partners and you have to take into a multitude of issues relating to parklets, its location, car parking, its potential use, its effectiveness in terms of its functionality, etc. And as I said before, trying to write a policy which applies to all those things is, in my view, not any difficult, but at best could be said just to be generic and for policy's sake. So in endorsing the recommendation, it should not be taken that I am arguing that parklets are not to be considered or an effective outcome of appropriate precinct planning, but it needs to be done on a fit-for-purpose basis, considering the location, which is what, as I understand, the intent of the neighbourhood planning and the precinct planning of the staff through the local planning strategy. So it's not being ignored. It's been actually picked up with appropriate strategic approaches. So on that basis is the reason why I am supporting the recommendation that it don't be progressive policy, because I think there's far more effective ways to approach this issue in a more comprehensive and strategic planning as well as operational context. Thank you. Any wish to speak to what I've said?
Thank you, Chair. Look, as second, I certainly agree with those sentiments, and also it's not the role of policy to promote the activation of our streets for proper purpose. The approach in identifying suitable areas on a precinct by precinct basis, and then promoting those parklets on a precinct by precinct basis that's going to add value and activation to the city is definitely the way to go. But in saying that, I think as well as identifying appropriate areas, we need to make sure after they're identified that there's no silly impediments in the way of proponents being able to apply and being able to activate these spaces. Now, that'll include application processes, fees, etc., etc., not dissimilar to what we're about to discuss in terms of alfresco. In saying that, too, I think the bottom line, too, is we do not want parklets in areas that they shouldn't be, and whether that be in terms of disrupting traffic or putting public in danger. So the opportunity to strategically identify areas within precincts is valid and should be pursued.
Thank you, Commissioner Hammond. Commissioner McNabb, do you wish to say anything on this matter?
Thank you, Chair, I do. At a recent visit to Melbourne, I returned after 20 years to one area being the Fitzroy and Fitzroy North area. And as a visitor to this area, I
experienced the transformation that appropriate development of the streets and the landscapes through the use of strategic parklets had transformed the amenity of the area for both a visitor such as myself and for residents. So I would like to add my support to this initiative and thank the administration for bringing it forward and encourage the administration to consider how we, after appropriate consultation, pursue this in a deliberate and strategic and maybe not urgent, but certainly positive approach to identifying and transforming areas of our city landscape.
Thank you, Commissioner McMath. It's my understanding that is the intent behind the local planning strategy. Thank you. It's been confirmed. Is there any more discussion on this matter? If not, I'll put the motion which is endorsing the recommendation before us on the agenda. All those in favour? None against? Declare it endorsed accordingly. Thank you. Now move to item 1313, outdoor dining policy and guidelines. Commissioners.
Thank you, Chair. Commissioner, with your indulgence, I'd like to deal with items 13.13 and 13.14 together.
Could you put that in the form of a motion then, please?
Yes. I'd like to defer consideration of items 13.13 and 13.14 pending peer review by the CEO on elements relating to the process of application and the cost of application, and the reasons for that being that whilst there's been a lot of good work done in this area, I know, speaking to my colleague commissioners, that we still have some reservations that the processes could be more streamlined and also that the costs involved could be limited somewhat. And the basis of that is to ensure that the city does not find itself in a competitive disadvantage to surrounding local governments who are competitors such as Vincent, Subiaco, Victoria Park, etc.
Okay, do I have a seconder to that motion?
I second that motion.
Okay. Commissioner Hammond, yeah, you wish to speak further other than what you've already said?
You didn't pull me up, did you?
No, no, I gave you a long way.
My apologies there, but I did speak for the motion. It's all about seeing that the city does not find itself in a competitive disadvantage to other areas because we want our businesses to thrive and we want our streets to be activated. So it may well be that after peer review, what has been provided this evening is absolutely spot on. However, there might be some opportunities to improve it as well.
Thank you, Commissioner Hammond. Commissioner McMath?
Thank you, Chair. Just a point of clarification to Commissioner Hammond, that peer review relates not just to the... Am I assuming that the peer review intended not relates not just to the application, but for
costs.
All the... Yeah, yes. The ongoing
indeed.
Costs. Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, are we clear?
Yes.
I'm glad you are.
Yep.
Good. No further discussion on this matter?
No.
You can dare to be... bold. Okay, in that case I'll put the motion as I would take it from what Commissioner Hammond has said, the reasons for this is quite clear. For this I'm not endorsing at this stage the recommendations relating to items 13 and 13.14. So is there any dissent to Commissioner Hammond's motion? No dissent. In that case, I've declared the motion endorsed. Thank you. We now move to item 1318, rates concession to the West Australian Cricket Association of... Yes, West Australian Cricket Association. Commissioners...
Seconded.
Do you wish to speak to the motion, Commissioner Hammond?
No.
No discussion. Commissioner McMath?
No discussion.
I believe the item is self-explanatory, so I have nothing to add to the motion, which requires absolute majority. So all those in favour of the recommendation to approve by an absolute majority the granting of a rates concession to the WACA? No dissent. Endorsed accordingly. Thank you. Apologise, I'm losing my voice. Agenda item 1322, which is nominations of commissioners for the Perth Theatre Trust Board. Commissioners, please.
I would like to propose an alternate motion, Chair.
Yes.
My alternate motion is that Council nominates Commissioners McMath and Hammond for the consideration by the Governor of Western Australia for appointment to the Perth Theatre Trust.
Thank you. I'm happy to second that. Do you wish to speak to the motion, Commissioner McMath?
Thank you, Chair. The proposal or the amended motion nominates two commissioners as opposed to three in the original motion, and reflects the allocation of portfolios in the area of culture and arts to myself, hence my recommendation that I be nominated, and that a second commissioner be also provided, Commissioner Hammond, who will bring considerable expertise to the deliberations of the Perth Theatre Trust.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion on this matter? No. In that case, I'll put the motion as moved by Commissioner Math. Is there any dissent? No. In that case, I'm clear the motion of Commissioner McNath endorsed accordingly. That brings us, as I understand, to motions of which previous notice has been given. Have any notices been received?
No, Chair Commissioner.
Is there any items of urgent business?
No, Chair Commissioner.
In that case, I thank the gallery for their attendance and I declare the meeting closed. Thank you.